The Fulcrum in the Void. 1. Memories Hurt. By Erin O'Brien. People say that those who have done evil can never be redeemed. That we're worthless, condemned, due to a single deed. It seemed to me like they were right. How could I go on, after Xinjiang? I never wanted what happened there. I wanted honor, duty, and the glory of service. I wanted to succeed where my father had failed. I was the shining star of my class at Kinemori Military Academy. But what we did at Xinjiang City, and then Kiva, I had to leave, or risk becoming a monster. My weeks on the run had made me realize it was too little, too late. The damage was already done. The monster lived in me. There's nothing but the Dominion on Hertha. Nowhere else to go. Except maybe the insurgency, but they would never take in someone they considered a war criminal. This was not like old Earth, where I could have fled and found amnesty in the arms of another nation. By now, my face would be on all the hollow screens in Kinemori City, and probably all over the Dominion too. All of Hertha must have known what I'd done, and they would reject me for those bare 5 minutes of my life. For my desertion, for the abandonment of my oath of service. But Eliana didn't have a clue. Because of that, I had been able to just be just me. For a little while, at least. The fire flickered low. It wasn't that cold in the mountain pass, but the light was comforting. Eliana peppered me with constant questions about the Dominion. I was happy enough to answer her, and guided her subtly away from asking about my past. I told her about the ongoing war between the Dominion and Paget's insurrection, about how my team had been deployed to assist the prefecture militias in pushing back the rebels. I told her about what cities are, and about our government. I told her about stores and hollow games. I told her about my Grendel. I don't know how much she understood, but she seemed to enjoy listening. Everything was new to her, and she watched me with wide, sparkling, crystalline eyes that reflected the flames like a mirror. Eventually, it came back round to me, of course. She asked outright. "Why did you come to the mountains, Aki?" she asked, her voice impossibly innocent and curious. "I know you were being chased, but why?" "Oh, Eliana, you don't want this story," I warned her.
"But I do."
"Gods of man, Eliana, I did something bad, all right? I really didn't want to talk about it."
"But what could possibly be that bad?" she wondered.
"Xinjiang," I breathed. Couldn't help myself.
"What is that?"
It's a city. Was a city. I hurt someone. I mean, I killed someone. Not in a war, no. Was a bad death. I gave them a bad death. And then, 2 days later, I left someone. Left someone behind. Someone I really cared about. Left him behind to die."
"I do not understand, Aki."
"Neither do I." I had to stop to blink the tears away. "Kiva,
Pain makes memories stronger. Aki sat on a picnic table bench with his back against the tabletop. His long legs were stretched out before him. His eyes were closed, and he was wearing headphones. An unusual sight in Kinemori City. Aki held the headphones close to his ears and was waving his head back and forth with the music. He sang quietly to himself. He had just finished Old Earth Club and was waiting for Kiva to get done with football practice. The Old Earth power metal thrummed in his ears, the guitars wailing. Approaching from across the field, Kiva saw Aki zoning out to the music. He smiled, then quickly straightened his face when his lip twinged with pain.
"You're such a fucking nerd with that Old Earth stuff, man," Kiva grumbled.
Aki opened his eyes and looked up. His jaw dropped when he saw Kiva.
"Holy shit, what happened to you?"
Aki asked, and took off the headphones, gawking at Kiva's bloody face and disheveled clothing.
"My teammates had something to say. I said something back."
"With your fists?" Aki snorted.
"What else is a man supposed to do? I don't buy that turn-the-other-cheek bullshit from the ancient Christians."
Kiva reached into his pocket and pulled out a cigarette case.
"Is this really the best time for a cig? We're still on school grounds," Aki asked. He eyed Kiva's swelling face.
The backfield of Kinemori City High No. 4 stretched out behind him, dotted by golden lobe trees with spiralling limbs. They were remnants of the golden forest that had once blanketed Mercia Province. The speckled yellow lobes pulsed lightly as they inhaled air into their sacks.
"Can you think of a better time?" Kiva mumbled as he rolled the cigarette. His stiff, bleeding knuckles made the process difficult. The finished cigarette was uneven and marked with red fingerprints.
Kiva placed the cigarette in his lips, on the opposite side of the open split that trailed blood down his chin.
"Come on, let's go home," Aki said. "Gotta take care of that lip before it gets any worse. I think your eye's beyond help, though."
"I got those fuckers good," Kiva growled around the cigarette, looking down at his busted, bleeding knuckles.
"I'm sure you did, dude, but you fucking paid for it," Aki agreed.
"Was it worth it?"
"Well, if you'd heard them."
Kiva trailed off, lighting the cig and taking a drag, not wanting to speak aloud what the boys had been saying. The two walked around the perimeter fence at the back of the field.
"Yeah, I don't doubt it. They're always saying shit, though, aren't they?"
Aki lifted a cut portion of fence for Kiva to duck under to exit the field into the city. Aki followed him through. This was the shortcut home they always took when they didn't feel like catching the mag train. From the field into the alleyway between Martin's bar and the abandoned tenement, and from there along the aqueduct. Kiva exhaled smoke.
"But it's never been like that," he said pensively.
"It doesn't matter what it was. You thrashed him, right? Let's see them try and say it again."
Aki laughed a little too hard. Aki knew exactly what the boys were saying. He had been hearing it for weeks and carefully steering Kiva away from it.
"Yeah," Kiva grunted. His left eye was almost swollen shut, completely covering the fiery mahogany of his iris. His right eye was still narrowed from the anger and residual adrenaline. His lower lip was split on the left side, a gash over an inch long. Blood covered his chin. Kiva's coppery hair was matted with dirt and somebody else's blood.
Aki walked beside Kiva, hands in the pockets of his torn, faded jeans. He scuffed his black booted toes on the ground, kicking a few stray pieces of the broken Kinemori City concrete. They slowly made their way down the alley. Through unspoken agreement, because of Kiva's condition, they would walk the whole way home instead of taking the MAG train. "Hey, Kiv, did it really bother you that much, what they were saying?" Aki asked. His usually confident voice faltered a little. He sounded much more hesitant than he intended, and he hoped Kiva didn't notice.
"Huh? Well, I mean..."
Kiva rubbed under his left eye gingerly.
"I guess. It's just that it's not true, you know? That's not how it is. We're not brothers, and we're not fucking. So why call me a brother fucker? I have enough trouble without that kind of reputation." "Oh, heir to the Tony fortune. He's set for life, and now he fucks dudes too. Useless throwback fag doing nothing for the imperative."
Kiva referenced the optimal imperative, the core mission of the Dominion, the genetic perfection of the human species through controlled breeding.
"Yeah," Aki said.
They walked quietly for a while. For Aki and his swirling thoughts, the buildings passed by like a blur, unnoticed. Aki thought about the optimal imperative. The unifying goal of all Dominion citizens. The ultimate perfection of humanity through culture and eugenics. Aki believed in the optimal imperative. Of course he did. He had a responsibility to the improvement of the human race, didn't he? But he didn't hate suboptimals, rudely called throwbacks by most people. And he was keenly aware that his own blue eyes made him not a perfect optimal himself. He knew it was much worse for Kiva, whose pale skin and copper hair marked him as an extreme suboptimal. The Tawny family fortune protected Kiva, though. He could buy his way out of any restrictions if he really wanted to. Especially once he turned 20. Just 2 more years.
"Hey?" Kiva asked quietly, breaking into Aki's thoughts.
"Hmm? I want to be thought of as a man, you know? My own man. Not just my family's fucking money," Kiva admitted.
"I think there's no doubt you're your own man," Aki reassured him.
"And yeah, we're not brothers, but we're something, you know? There is a you and a me, just I don't have a name for it."
"Yeah," Kiva mused. "There's an us. Ever since we were 7. "Let's just say we're close and leave it at that," Aki suggested.
"Nah, people can read all kinds of things into that," Kiva frowned.
"Fuck 'em, who cares?"
"Well, I do. I'm not a fucking puff," Kiva growled defensively, then took a deep final drag on the cigarette. He flicked the butt to the sidewalk, not bothering to stamp it out. As far as he was concerned, if the city caught fire, it would make for a beautiful sight.
All right, no homo, or whatever, idiot."
Aki rolled his eyes. They walked the rest of the way home in silence, hands in their pockets, elbow to elbow. Aki's faded, slightly oversized plain black t-shirt and torn jeans were a stark contrast to Kiva's now bloody designer button-up with rolled sleeves, and dark-washed jeans which sat low on his hips, held up with a brown belt. They both wore boots. Aki, his father's old, beat-up military-issue boots, and Kiva, a pair of polished brown ankle boots. When they entered Aki's flat,
his mother looked up from the faded, threadbare sofa. Her eyes were bleary, and she had a glass of bevy in her hand. The neon blue liquid sloshed as she turned her head.
Where have you been? Oh, my Jesus God, Kiva, what the fuck happened to you?
She sat down the drink with a thunk and stood up.
Got into a fight, Kiva mumbled.
Aki closed the door behind them and started to head toward the bedroom he shared with Kiva, but his mother cut him off, forcing herself in front of him.
Is this what you've brought into our home here, Aki? A degenerate? I should have fucking guessed.
Her voice became more and more crazed until it broke with a sharp laugh.
You're just like your father. Just like him. Not a trace of me in you.
Mom, not now. Don't do this right now, please. Aki begged, his voice worn. She raised her hand sharply. Seeing it coming, like many times before, he squeezed his eyes shut and clenched his teeth. Aki could hear Kiva's sharp intake of breath behind him. She belted Aki with a hard slap across the cheek. The crack resounded, shaking Aki's brain in his skull.
Don't do what? Don't do what here, Aki? This is my flat. Don't you forget it. This is my home. And you brought that delinquent to live here. Look at the state of him. I always knew it would end up like this.
Those Tawnies were criminals, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as you should know. You're your father's son, too.
Mom, it was just a fight. Calm down, he was defending himself. And it's his stipend that pays for this flat. And your booze, Aki said defiantly, lifting his eyes from the floor to meet his mother's cold gaze. His cheek was numb. Kiva watched the redness spread across Aki's cheekbone. Aki felt a light touch on his elbow. He turned his head to look at Kiva.
I can come back later, if I'm making things worse, Kiva offered.
No way. You can't go anywhere like that, Aki told him. Just hold on a minute.
Oh yes, tell the miscreant to stay without consulting me.
She had walked back to the side table and picked up her glass of bevy again and downed half of it. Her golden brown hair hung in greasy strings. The bags under her bloodshot eyes were tinged purple. Her eyes, ice blue like Aki's, pierced through Kiva. Threatening. I don't want to cause trouble for you. Kiva turned to the door and began to open it. Aki leaned his back against the door and placed his hand on top of Kiva's on the doorknob. Aki locked eyes with Kiva. Although the same ice blue as his mother's piercing, hateful glare, Aki's eyes were deep, wide, and terrified. Please stay with me. Kiva could practically hear Aki's plea. Kiva nodded without hesitation.
Yeah, okay, he whispered.
Aki withdrew his hand and turned back to his mother.
Look, Mom, he's lived here for a year and a half already. It's been fine. The fight wasn't even his fault. Just sit back down and watch your hollows, all right? Do you need another bevy?
Oh, Aki, she purred suddenly.
Her face had changed completely, as if a new person now inhabited her body.
You're my hope, my salvation. You're going to be my hero. When you make it out of here, my son, the man his father could never be.
Yeah, okay, Mom, come on.
Aki took his mother by the shoulders and guided her back to the sofa. By the time she sat down, she was sobbing.
Come on, Mom, don't cry. I'll get you out of here. It won't be like this forever. I'll go to the academy. I'll make it big as a pilot.
I'll get you a house on Palatine Hill, like you always wanted.
Aki stroked his mother's hair and kissed the top of her head. When he pulled away, she was already fumbling for the holoprojector's remote, mumbling to herself about a game show. Aki looked up at Kiva over the sofa. Kiva was watching with a dark expression on his bleeding face. Aki sighed. He knew what was coming.
Aki jerked his head sideways toward the hallway.
Kiva nodded and walked toward their shared bedroom. Aki went to the kitchen to get his mother another drink, then followed Kiva, stopping in the bathroom to grab some first aid supplies.
"Should you really have given her more to drink?" Kiva asked immediately as Aki walked in.
"Man, she's way worse sober. You don't even know. Just let me handle her. I've been doing it forever. I know how she ticks."
"I don't like it. Nobody should be hitting you. Not ever."
"It's fine. It's nothing new. Sit on the bed, will you?" Aki asked Kiva, who was aimlessly pacing at the back of the room.
"How do you stand it?" Kiva demanded, still pacing. "Being treated like that."
"She's not well, Kiva. She doesn't mean it."
"Why does it matter what she means?"
"What should matter is what she does. She can't just hit you like that. She does it all the time and you just let her.
I just let her hit you too."
"I'm all right, Kiva. It's all right." Aki's voice was quiet, reassuring. He knew how to handle Kiva in one of these moods, just like he knew how to handle his mother in one of hers.
"She's just got reasons. She's too weak to really hurt me. Anyway, you've been hit a lot harder than me today. Now will you sit down?"
Aki pointed to Kiva's bed.
"I can do this myself," Kiva complained, finally sitting down on the side of his bed.
"Uh-huh. But you won't. You'll just take that bloody shirt you're wearing, wipe your face off with it, and throw it in the corner for the mops."
"I don't need to be fussed over," Kiva glowered, eyes sullen. "Least of all by you."
"Shut up and let me do this. I can't clean the blood off your fucking chin if it's moving. Hold on. This is going to sting."
Aki wiped the blood away from Kiva's cut lip with a soaked cloth.
Kiva hissed in pain. A few swipes of the cloth, and all the blood was gone. Kiva looked halfway civilized.
"I think you might need stitches," Aki said, looking at Kiva's lip.
"Really? It's that bad?"
"I'm not gonna go get stitches."
"Suit yourself. It'll scar. Have you seen how much blood is on your shirt? You look like a massacre."
"Okay, need to clean your eye and your knuckles. Then you need to take a shower because your hair is full of somebody's blood."
"How come you're always telling me what to do?" Kiva laughed.
"Because you won't do it if I don't tell you to," Aki said.
Kiva shrugged. "Fair enough." Such had been their relationship for years. Aki was more responsible and more concerned about propriety. He couldn't help but keep Kiva in line. For some reason, Kiva didn't mind it and accepted the direction with a gracious level of bemused tolerance. Cleaning Kiva's eye had been easy enough. The split in his brow was much smaller than the cut on his lip. Kiva's knuckles, though, were shredded and swollen. Aki cleaned them as gently as he could, but he knew it had to hurt terribly. He could hear Kiva cursing under his breath. Finally, Aki let go of Kiva's hand.
"Okay, done. I guess mandatory first aid class counted for something," Aki said.
"Go."
"A shower now, really?"
Kiva scowled. He just wanted to lay down. He started to lean back on the bed.
"Yeah, you're pretty gross, man."
Don't put that hair on your pillow. You'll regret it,
Aki warned. Kiva grunted and sat back up, glaring.
I hate you, Kiva grumbled.
Aki raised an eyebrow at him.
I could just let you wallow,
Aki offered.
Kiva's thoughts ran wild in the shower. Watching the red water run off his head, he found himself pondering why he felt so helplessly angry and protective when Aki had been struck. Why what those boys had said had bothered him so much. Whether it would be best if he moved out for Aki. Why he hadn't wanted Aki to let go of his hand on the doorknob. Why he would have walked through fire for those blue eyes when they begged him to stay.
Kiva shook his head in frustration, his hair spraying warm droplets onto the shower curtain. He knew. He had always known. They had been best friends for a decade, but it had always been somehow more than that.
Kiva returned to the bedroom with his copper hair towel tousled. He wore just plaid pajama pants which sat low on his hips, as usual. He was barefoot, no shirt.
Aki glanced up from his school-issue holotablet when Kiva came in. This was a familiar sight, but he always liked seeing it. Kiva flopped heavily on his bed, to the left of the single small window. His huge brown eyes stared at the ceiling.
Kiva sighed.
Uh-oh, Aki thought.
What's up then? He asked.
Nothing.
Hey, Aki lowered his tablet and turned to look at Kiva, eyes narrowed.
I've known you how long?
You know I don't believe in nothing from you.
I don't know, it's just... What does it mean that we're close?
Kiva glanced at Aki, who was staring intently at him.
Aki shifted to sit on the side of his bed, legs hanging down. He set the holo tablet next to him on the bed. An essay about ethics lit the screen.
I guess it just means we're bound, like... tied together somehow, Aki said.
I'm not sure, but there's something, right?
People always joke that they can't ever find one of us without the other.
It's true, right? I mean, I'm happier with you around than not.
Yeah.
Kiva continued staring at the ceiling.
I think you're too worried about it, Aki said, running his hand back over his shaved head.
Just let it be whatever it is, yeah?
He started to pull his legs back up onto the bed and reach for the tablet.
I guess, Kiva said,
then sat up slowly, cross-legged.
It just...
Aki's heart slammed in his chest suddenly.
Now, something told him. It has to be now.
Fine. Do you want to know what it means then?
Aki asked, looking Kiva straight in the face.
Know what?
Kiva blinked, surprised by the intensity.
Without another word, Aki stood up and walked over to Kiva's bed. He placed one knee on the bed and leaned forward.
Aki lifted a hand to Kiva's cheek, trailing a fingertip over his jawline.
Kiva's eyes widened and his body stiffened. He didn't move.
Aki looked into Kiva's eyes.
Kiva looked scared, vulnerable, like pictures of old earth fawns, lost in the woods.
Aki had never seen him like that before. Coming back to himself, Kiva searched Aki's eyes, finding a profound sadness as deep as an ocean.
Aki started to back off, putting both feet on the ground.
I'm sorry, I...
Aki looked away, anywhere but into Kiva's eyes.
I know you don't want this. I'm sorry.
No.
Kiva said so quietly Aki could barely hear him. Then louder. No. Stay. Aki lifted his eyes to see Kiva's hand reaching for his face. Aki moved closer, leaning forward on the bed again. Kiva's hand made contact with Aki's cheek and slid down to the side of his neck. Aki shivered and closed his eyes.
Kiva, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, Aki said at last.
I'm not. I've wanted this, too, Kiva admitted, the unmarred corner of his lips curling up in a weak smile.
Really? For how long?
Well, always. I just thought it was impossible, I guess.
How do you cross that fence?
Kiva mused.
By crossing it, Aki said, sensibly.
Aki climbed onto the bed fully, cross-legged across from Kiva. Kiva dropped his hand off of Aki's neck, back to his lap. Aki reached for that hand and took it, brazenly entwining his fingers with Kiva's. With his other hand, Aki traced a finger over Kiva's lower lip. Kiva watched him, fighting the knot in his stomach. Kiva wrestled his memories back into their pit. Aki leaned forward and very lightly brushed his lips against Kiva's. He could feel Kiva's shiver in his hand. Kiva pressed forward, strengthening the contact, and Aki kissed him fully. Aki could taste the coppery tang of Kiva's blood from his split lip. His heart pounded faster. Kiva pulled back suddenly.
Stop, he whispered.
Aki, stop. Aki sat back on the bed and watched Kiva's face. Kiva was looking away, his eyes focused on some distant thought. He looked almost upset, disturbed even. Aki felt the tears stinging his eyes, springing up unbidden. Kiva looked up in time to see the two trailing down Aki's cheeks.
No, no. Kiva took Aki's face in both hands, then leaned forward and kissed the tears. No, it's not you. Not you. Never you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I put you in this position. I feel ashamed. You didn't want this. You never wanted. You have no one else to go to when I...
Aki trailed off.
No, Ahushla, it's not like that.
Kiva's tongue rolled over the strange words with a smoothness, a familiarity.
Of course I want this. I said I did. I want you. Always have. I could be anywhere I want, anywhere at all. This is where I chose to be. With you.
Aki looked up again, eyes shining. The tears were still falling.
Why are the tears still?
Kiva brushed one off of Aki's cheek with his thumb.
Relieved, I guess, Aki said, hesitating.
And scared?
And sad?
But I'm always sad.
Kiva rested his hand on Aki's.
It makes sense. There's so much on you. Your mom, your future, me. You bear a lot more weight than you should have to. I wish I could lift it all.
And now this, Aki said. Now this. This means so much.
I can't wrap my head around it.
What do we do now? How do we act now?
Well, just be us, I guess. Not much will change.
What else can we do, Aki?
Kiva smiled slightly and ran his hand over Aki's closely shorn hair.
I thought you didn't want to be called a puff, I thought you were really anti... this,
Aki said. Oh, I mean, well, I don't want to be called a puff, and I'm not one. I still like girls. I know you do too. A lot. Kiva chuckled. But what I want to be called has nothing to do with who I want to be with. Do you know, I've wanted to know what touching you would feel like since the beginning? I thought I'd never find out. I'd accepted it. But seeing you walk in just then, hair a mess, no shirt. Aki wondered aloud. Couldn't help yourself, huh? Well, of course, I mean, look at me. Kiva grinned roguishly, showing off his busted lip and swollen eye. You know I've always done that on purpose? Jerk. Aki smiled, still sitting cross-legged, across from Kiva, their knees touching. Aki reached across and rested his hand on Kiva's chest, over his heart. Kiva's skin felt very warm, very soft. The muscles beneath tensed. Your hand's really cold, Kiva complained, laughing. Sorry, Aki said and started to pull his hand away. No, it's warm now. Stop apologizing, stupid. You've never done anything wrong a day in your life. Kiva held Aki's hand in place. Aki felt the fire in his belly rise up again. Aki leaned forward, slid his free hand behind Kiva's neck, and kissed him. Softly at first, then deeper, lingering. Kiva sighed into the kiss and leaned back, pulling Aki down with him onto the bed. Aki propped himself up with one arm and looked down into Kiva's eyes. The left eye's swelling had receded a little bit. Kiva's lip had broken open again, and a thin trickle of blood trailed down his chin. Now what? Kiva asked, staring into Aki's bottomless, ice-blue eyes. Whatever I want, Aki growled, his confidence surging. Aki lowered his head and licked Kiva's chin slowly, trailing up and over the bleeding cut. He kissed Kiva's lip, hard, right on top of the cut. Kiva winced and gasped. Did that hurt? Aki asked playfully. Yes, you asshole, Kiva snarled. Good. Aki smiled wickedly. Why is that good?
Because I want you to remember this forever, to your grave. Aki nuzzled his cheek into Kiva's. How could I ever forget? You don't have to hurt me for that. Someone once told me pain makes memories stronger. Aki's velvety baritone voice teased, quoting his father. He brought his face close to Kiva's, and the resonance in his voice fell deeper. I will be your first thought when you wake up in the morning, and your last thought when you fall asleep, no matter who you're sleeping next to. Aki kissed Kiva again, gently this time. Kiva's lips were soft, open, and pulled Aki deeper. Kiva bit Aki's lower lip as he pulled away. Hard. Ah! Aki exclaimed, then growled. You already are. You have been. I can't even breathe without thinking of you. I hated it. Sometimes I really hated you. Because I couldn't get you out of my head, Kiva confessed. Jesus fucking Christ. Why didn't we get here sooner? Aki asked, He turned his head and began kissing Kiva's neck and throat. Kiva let out something between a moan and a whine, as Aki's lips brushed his sensitive skin. "Quiet, or my mom will hear us," Aki whispered, between nibbles on Kiva's neck.
"Please, that bitch is passed out on the couch. She drunk sleeps through us playing mecha gods in there on the hollow, screaming at the top of our lungs. I could howl like the devil and she wouldn't have a clue."
Kiva tilted his head to the side to expose his neck more.
"You got a point," Aki agreed.
Kiva ran his hands up Aki's back, under his faded black t-shirt. Aki shivered at the touch, a thrill running up his spine.
"Wanna take this off, so we can be even?"
"Yeah, okay." Aki straightened, straddling Kiva's hips. He stretched his arms up, pulling the t-shirt off. Kiva watched appreciatively, as Aki's muscles and ribs flexed with his movement. Those broad shoulders and that narrow waist had given Kiva fits for years. While Aki had the shirt half off, Kiva rested a hand on his waist. The touch startled Aki, and he gasped softly. With the shirt off, held in one arm, he looked down at Kiva and smiled.
"I've wanted to touch you there, right there, for so long."
Kiva smiled back up at him.
"Wanted to put a claim on you. Wanted the right to touch you whenever I please."
Kiva slid his hand up Aki's ribs, over his chest, and back down to his belly, brushing the light golden brown fur under his fingertips.
Okay then. I give you that right."
Aki leaned back down, arms on either side of Kiva's head, propping himself up.
"I'll give you the right to my body. I trust you, Kiva." "You're not gonna ask for a right to mine?" Kiva asked, curious. "No. If you want me to have it, you'll give it." Aki touched his forehead to Kiva's. He settled his weight over Kiva's hips and lowered his body a bit. He could feel the pressure of Kiva's hunger beneath him. He knew Kiva could feel his, too.
"Gods of man, yes, of course I want you to have it. I would sell my fucking soul to you for one kiss."
"Oh? Well, I'll take your soul then. But you can have as many kisses as you want,"
Aki said, whispering the last into Kiva's ear. In response, Kiva lifted his hips and pressed into Aki. Aki moaned.
"Yes, you can have that too."
"Say it again," Kiva said, still pressing.
It's yours. All yours."
Aki closed his eyes tightly, bit his lip. Kiva took hold of Aki under his pants. He stroked softly with his thumb.
"This is?" Kiva asked. "Yes, that, Kiva."
Kiva continued stroking with long, slow movements.
"Kiva, I love—"
Aki began, but Kiva cut him off with a kiss and a deft squeeze. Aki whimpered softly.
"No, let's don't say it. Let's not ever say it. It's enough that we belong to each other. It's enough and more,"
Kiva said. He fought to keep the sudden panic out of his voice.
"All right," Aki said reluctantly. "As long as you know
Aki slid off Kiva to the side. Kiva followed his movements, turning on his side as well.
I know. Now be quiet. Let me show you, Kiva said softly. He resumed stroking. He kissed Aki, gentle, open.
Aki was not used to this kind of softness from Kiva. Kiva was usually all fire and barely contained aggression. Contempt and hatred often flashed in Kiva's huge mahogany eyes. Never at Aki. But he had seen it since they were little. Kiva was a fighter. Violent, cruel, defiant. But never to Aki. Kiva lifted his hand and pushed Aki's shoulder until he was laying on his back. Kiva looked down at him. Aki's bare chest rose and fell with deep breaths. His eyes shone brightly. The sadness and terror from earlier at the door had vanished, replaced by curiosity and wonder. Kiva ran his hand down Aki's chest, slim but muscled, and rested it on his belly. Aki's eyes flickered with animal vulnerability. He waited, motionless.
Just let me, okay? Kiva asked, his voice low and husky. Aki nodded once, having no idea what he was agreeing to. Aki bit his lip, nervous. Kiva's heart roared at the sight. Kiva pulled Aki's pants and boxers down to the middle of his thighs. Kiva wrapped his fingers around Aki again. Aki squeezed his eyes shut and gasped. His eyes snapped back open when he felt a warm, soft wetness envelop him. His breath caught in his throat. He let out a helpless groan. Kiva's heart soared at the sound. After, Kiva looked down at Aki, propped up with his arms on either side of Aki's head. A bead of translucent wetness trailed down Kiva's chin alongside a rivulet of blood from his busted lip. Kiva looked Aki dead in the eyes and swallowed. Aki felt the foundation drop out of his world, and he fell, spinning. There would be no turning back. Not ever.